to enjoying everyday life.
Hi, this is Dennis of the Home Times, a good little newspaper for God and country. I want to send you a copy. To receive Home Times, I'm available at 888-439-3509. I believe we have a powerful weapon for righteousness at our disposal, prayer. Let's put God in control. To receive Home Times, I'm available at 888-439-3509. 888-439-3509.
Welcome to On to Perfection, the radio ministry of Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. I'm Trevor Banks, and I'm glad you've joined us for today's broadcast, and I trust you'll be blessed by the message.
Thank you for joining us as we continue in our series entitled, The Faith Crisis.
What sense did it make for Elisha to take a new cruise and put salt into the water? What are they going to do? Except God told him to do that. And what did it do? It took all the disease, all the sickness, all the stuff out the water, and the water of that place became pleasant. What would it be for Paul to send aprons that he preached and he put on his body, and then after he preached, he would send them to different places? And people would take the little apron or the little handkerchief or whatever it was and place it on a part of their body where they were sick, and they'd be healed. What kind of sense was that? That's not common sense. But they reached into a realm of faith. And see, it's there all the time, 24/7. But the challenge is, are we there? Sometimes you allow this world to, let me say it like this, like a fighter. You get punch drunk. Your senses, everything gets dulled. We need our senses keen. We need discernment to be in touch and tune with the Spirit of God, to act as God says, to do things that God says, because it unlocks things that are locked, things that are hidden from the common carnal man. They'll never operate. They'll just operate on, you know, A, B, C, D. When you can be operating on all of them at one time by faith. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7. Samuel is sent to anoint the next king of Israel, to Jesse's house. And he gets all his sons standing in front of him. In verse 6, it says, and it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab. Now, this is Samuel, the prophet. He looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Let me say it this way. The Lord looks at the heart of a matter. He's not looking on the outward appearance or the fruit of the matter. He's looking at the heart of the matter. That's why faith is a paradox. It's uncommon. We did a message some years ago entitled, God Talks Nonsense. A lot of folks looked at me funny. But God does. He talks. When God talks, it's nonsense. It's not according to your sense. It's according to your spirit. If we could get our head out of the way, if we could get our soul subjected to the Spirit and let the Spirit govern us, we would hear his voice loud and clear. And we would see how we are already blessed. How do you know? Because your spirit bears witness. It's contradictory to common sense, but yet it's true. And if you'll stay there and walk in the Spirit, you will see manifestations, much of how you don't know how it happened. You don't know how it came, except that you were believing, that you were trusting, that you were obeying. And a lot of things you look back and say, how did that happen? How did I get here? How did God bless me like that? I can't even trace this thing. You know what? The more mature you become in your spirit, the more important is every move. You can't afford to have lapses, bad hair days, so to speak, you know. You know what I'm talking about, right? Bad days where you're just fussing with God, you're mad at God, you ain't believing, you just, no, you can't afford that. You know, I was reading something about a butterfly. And this is interesting because they say science will tell you, and this is true, science will tell you the flapping of the wings of a butterfly can be the result of a devastating storm somewhere. Just a butterfly. Isn't it amazing? So in the spirit dimension, just a little bit of faith, just trusting God, just making a move without fear, can have a ripple effect. Be like a mighty wave, a mighty tidal wave moving your life just because you believe like that. I like that verse. He says, the Lord sees not as man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance of things. But God, the Lord, looks on the heart. He looked on the heart of Eliab, said he's not the one. While you're looking at your circumstances, saying, woe is me, God's looking at the heart of your circumstance, saying, there's a way. There's a provision there. You just don't see it because you're blinded by your common sense. See, preference is a result of not seeking God all the way. Because see, when you seek God all the way, guess what? You get convicted. You get on lock. It's got to happen. I can't turn back. There is no other hope. There is no other method. No other way. I have no plan B. See, when you got plan B and C and D, you stuck on preference. See, if God's going to make you a billionaire, then he's got to get you to where you have conviction. So that you don't squander the kingdom finance. Hello? We've seen enough of that, haven't we? We've seen enough of that. Amen. Amen. Where you use it to the glory of God. Faith is a paradox. Now, in James chapter 1 and verse 19, how do we develop, how do we receive this type of faith which is so contrary to the common sense, the paradox, contradictory, yet true type of faith. In verse 19 of James 1, it says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Now, the Lord here is not referencing your being saved from sin. Your spirit is already saved. Amen. Our spirit, when we were born again, our spirit was saved. We are new creatures. Now, the challenge is the transformation of our mind or our soul. The soul is the mind, the will, and the emotion. Now, it says, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. See, our soul is in the process of being saved. Because sometimes we allow old thought patterns, fears or cultural limitations or whatever limitations we grew up with, we sometimes allow them to linger in our soul, and it's how we think. Now, our spirit is trying to bust out. Our spirit is saying, take the limitations off. Let me out the cage. Get creative. Stop just being bound by your common sense. And allow the paradox of your faith to start moving. But it says here that we are the engrafted word. That's an interesting word. Engrafted word is able to save your soul. That word engrafted, it means to germinate or grow, sprout, and produce. The engrafted word will germinate. It will grow. It will cause something to sprout in your soul. See, sometimes it's your mind that's keeping you back. I said, sometimes the way you think is keeping you back from what God really has for you. Becoming everything God has purposed for you to be. Receiving everything God has already blessed you with. Your mind is holding you on lock. So James is saying the engrafted word is able to save your soul, to transform your soul so that you think with God, so that you're not limited by how you think. In other words, your thinking is not blocking God's movement. Any move of God always comes from the Word of God. If there's going to be any movement of God in your life, it's coming from a word. In other words, every time God moved, he spoke first. There's a word. And so as you study the word, allow the engrafted word, the word that will germinate, the word that will move, the word that will sprout, the word that will do something to your soul. Allow it to save. Allow it to deliver you from old thought patterns. Some of the thought patterns are adopted from the environment. Some of the thought patterns come from CNN, Fox News, from the newspaper, from something somebody said that didn't know what they were talking about, or an experience you had that shut you down from believing God. Like I said, the enemy will throw a lot of stuff at you to try to back you off. That's why sometimes you have to fight. I said, sometimes you have to fight. That's why the word says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You got everything you need to fight. You are a champion. You are triumphant. You are victorious. That's what the word tells us. When we believe it and we start to exercise that, you find out that your enemy is no match for you. And that no weapon. Look out here. No weapon. Not any. No thing. Nobody. Nowhere. No how. Formed against you can prosper. Come on, God gets real radical with this thing. But see, if you just have a preference, you just happen to hear that. But when you convict it, you go all the way with that. And when you face the giants, you pull that word out on them and say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. No man shall be able to stand before me all the days of my life. Giants, the song we sing, giants shall fall too. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. But see, that's what God's given to you. But you got to allow the paradox of faith to go against the grain of your natural thinking. You know, even when people are being blessed sometimes, I'm just like this. You may be different. It may be just a preference to each his own. But many people, when God is blessing them, they just want to take a little bit. I say, Lord, pour it on. Pour it on.
Thank you for listening to today's message. And for more information or more messages from On to Perfection, call toll free 1-877-TR-PERFECTION. Thanks, or visit our website at trbanks.com. And always remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.